Yo, welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of Stands and Fits is actually presented by Heartland Flags this week. We did not do a Monday rundown this week.
Heartland Flags stepped up.
Yeah, so Heartland Flags will be the presenting sponsor of the Stands and Fits podcast for this week. But we are still looking for a permanent presenting sponsor. So if you are interested in being the presenting sponsor of Stands and Fits, I've had a couple people reach out to me, but nothing is nailed down at this point. So we're still having some discussions. And if you would like to be a part of those discussions, reach out to me on Twitter at Jared Stansberry. Reach out to Casey, casey@cyclonefanatic.com. You can email me, jared@cyclonefanatic.com, or however you want to go about that. So this is Stands and Fits. What's up, my man? Like I said, Heartland Flags, presenting sponsor today. Not the time to hang your Vikings flag, but I'm sure that if you're a Patriots or Eagles fan, you would like to hang your flag for one of those teams at this time.
So who are you rooting in the Super Bowl now that the Vikings aren't in the picture?
I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think I've ever cared less about who wins the Super Bowl than I do this year.
Normally I'd be against the team that beat the Vikings. Well, in this case, because the Eagles, I think they have a lot of bad fans.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you saw the videos of them throwing beer cans at Vikings fans the other day. But my father-in-law now is a big-time Eagles fan.
Okay.
He grew up in Philadelphia or Philadelphia area. So he has adopted the Vikings over the years, too. So the NFC Championship game was a really big day for him.
Yeah.
So he's going to be happy regardless.
I don't know. I could not care less. I don't like the Patriots.
I don't either.
I've always just kind of been neutral. I've been neutral on the Eagles ever since Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens left.
Yeah.
And, I really could not care less.
So you weren't a fan of the Chip Kelly Eagles?
No. No. They were, like, the least interesting. Well, I mean, they were interesting because it was Chip Kelly, but, like, the players and stuff that they had were not very interesting.
It's so funny how everyone just expected them to be the next, like, second coming of the best, you know, the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Even though it's not, you know, on turf in Philadelphia. But
well, even now, I mean, without Wentz, I probably wouldn't have even known that Nick Foles was on the roster if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Well, he was off the roster for a while, correct?
And yeah,
he was
think
brought
so.
Back.
Yeah. And then I know Nelson Aguilar, just because I always like to pick him up on Madden.
Yeah.
And, like, those are the only people that I even knew were on the team, to be completely honest.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know anything about either team. This, like I said, this is probably the least interested I've been in the Super Bowl in quite a while.
I just don't want Tom Brady to win another Super Bowl.
I don't know.
I'm so sick of the Patriots winning every other year.
I mean, if he wins another one, then maybe he'll just retire, you know?
Dude, didn't he go on record saying he wanted to play until he was 50 years old, though?
Yeah, something like that.
See, so like I've heard people say that, oh yeah, he just wants one more ring, but I don't think that's true. I think he does want to keep playing for another decade.
I don't know. I'm just gonna hold out hope that maybe he'll win, and then him and Belichick will just be done. You know,
I would guess that Belichick quits before Brady does.
Oh yeah, I would say that is very likely as well. I don't know. Sunday was not a great day.
No,
not a great day.
I was so pumped because the undercard game, which is the Patriots and the Jags, was a great game. Like, obviously, besides the Patriots coming back and winning, I was rooting for the Jaguars.
Yeah,
like any sane person would. But then,
sorry, Patriots.
Like I was getting,
there.
I was so pumped for the Vikings and Eagles because it was supposed to be like this slug them out, you know, like first team to 17 points wins kind of game.
Yeah.
And then even the Vikings scored on their first drive, but then after that, it was all Eagles.
See, my disappointment was cushioned by the fact that Chris gave up after the pick six.
Oh,
He saw it, and he was like, oh, game's over.
Well, when it was 7-7?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the old Vikings fan in him.
Well, that was just
the seasoned
point.
Vikings
he
fan.
He was like, if they're going to let the defense score, then this game's over. It's like, it's done.
I didn't think it was over at that point. But
when they fumbled, too, that was the other time when I was like, man, this is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Once they got down, I mean, when they were down 14-7, I was like, gosh, I don't know. This is going to be tough. They did not take advantage of the fact that they'd marched right down and scored on that first.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, considering they got beat, whatever it was, 38-7. I kind of stopped watching after it got to a certain point.
And the by far the most disappointing part of the entire game was the defense, obviously. They couldn't stop them at all.
The highlight of my night by far was watching Old School with Chris and his family after the game got over.
So that was your coping mechanism?
Yeah, it was a phenomenal movie. All-time American cinema classic, without a doubt in my mind.
Good call.
It's been an up-and-down week for the Iowa State Cyclones.
Very up-and-down.
Obviously, last week's game, against TCU, which would have been the last game that I guess we were kind of previewing. Went very, very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Very poorly.
Couldn't stop anything.
No.
Defense was terrible.
Yeah, defense was terrible. The offense was not.
It wasn't great.
Terrible.
It wasn't terrible,
but
it wasn't good. Yeah.
It was kind of just in between. And then TCU's offense was like on another.
Amazing.
Another planet.
And their defense looked better, but I think a lot of it was just because Texas Tech didn't shoot very well,
yeah,
too.
But I think that that was proven last night. Can't feel too bad about that. West Virginia obviously goes into to Fort Worth and was down by 20-ish points for a majority of the game.
Yeah.
But then Saturday was much, much better. Put a hurting on the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Yep.
Biggest win over a top 10 team in program history. 18 points, 70-52 over the number 8 Red Raiders. And then last night was, again, not good.
Mm-mm.
That was like the most – I never got excited, but I never got pissed either.
It was one of those games where they were on the cusp the entire game.
Yeah.
Where they literally just could not get there.
Yeah. Like I said, I was never – excited. Nothing ever happened that I was like, yeah, you know, back
yeah.
in the game. But I never was like, oh my God, this is horrible. You
yeah.
know, like it wasn't like the TCU game where you're watching them just score one time after another
mm-hmm.
and you're just pissed off. You're like, this is ridiculous.
It was one of those games where we get a stop like every few possessions, but then on those possessions we couldn't score on the other end.
Yeah.
It just always lined up.
Right. It was either always trading baskets or trading
no
stops.
Basket.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like that was just it was both teams would go 4 minutes without scoring,
mm-hmm.
or they both would score every possession down the floor.
Mm-hmm. So in the TCU and, Texas games,
mm-hmm.
obviously the defense wasn't very good at
yeah.
times. What, in your mind, is the root of the defensive struggles?
Okay. Last night, Solomon Young was really not good.
Yeah. Like, last night, he was especially
That might have been good. The worst game that he has played at Iowa State. I can't think of one that sticks out in my mind specifically as him being worse.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like every time he got matched up on someone, they were going to score.
Yeah.
It felt like.
Well, and Mo Bamba's an incredible player, obviously.
Right.
And but the thing is,
I don't know if he's just gotten a lot better or if he just played bad in that first game that they had.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay in that first game, but he
yeah.
looked good last night. Like, that was the guy that it's like, okay, yeah, he's top 5 pick,
mm-hmm.
top 10 pick, you know.
Yeah. And the thing about Solomon Young, too, is based on last year and a lot of the non-conference from this year,
mm-hmm.
you kind of thought of Solomon Young as, like, the rock.
Yeah.
He's always going to be the guy that you can count on to play solid defense, you know, pick up the trashy, you know, the garbage man kind of buckets, too.
Yeah.
But last night, man, his pick and roll D was bad. He was bad in hedging. He was slow just in general.
Mm-hmm.
It was yeah, like you said, one of his worst games at Iowa State.
And, like, the thing that makes him valuable out on the court is the fact that he is supposed to be this good defensive player.
Yeah.
You know? And what he went 0 for 3 from the field and had like 3 rebounds, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the only production you're going to get from him, it's hard to keep him out there.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And the unfortunate
thing is, I'm not saying you got to bench him or anything
yeah.
like that, but it's just like, if all you're going to get from this guy who is supposed to be your defensive rock, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's, you know, the unfortunate thing is it's hard to bench him completely, too, because Iowa State can't really go with the 4-out-1-in look that they've done in prior years.
Right.
They don't have as many shooters.
Yeah. See, and that's just – they're hamstrung by the way the roster is constructed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they try and go small with Sarantali, but he can't shoot.
No.
So then all of a sudden you're left with another guy who can't do anything offensively and is not as strong as what Solomon is.
Yeah.
And then – you know, if you go to Hans Brace, he can't do much for you offensively either, and he's limited as a defensive player at times.
Yeah.
Jeff Beverly, we've talked for a lot about what his limitations are at this point.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know what – I mean, I think that if they could get something from Terrence Lewis, that would probably be the most optimal thing.
Agreed.
But when he's only shooting like 20% from three-point range,
yeah.
and that's supposed to be the thing that he brings to the table for you, then it's hard to trust him either.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know – I feel like you almost just have to stick it out at this point.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what else you can do.
It's unfortunate because the only 3 players on the roster right now that I trust to shoot 3-pointers are the starting 3 guards.
Yeah.
And then obviously.
And even then, Nick Babb's shooting like 17%
yeah.
from 3 in Big 12 play.
Yeah. And he looked pretty good against Texas Tech. He hit some really tough shots against
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, do you really want him being the scorer before the distributor? No, not
right.
really. So it's just tough. I mean, if Terrence Lewis could come off the bench and, you know, hit more than whatever he's hitting at the moment, then that would help a lot.
He hasn't even played in the last couple of games, you know. And, yeah, I mean, the thing – and that was really the thing last night that I watched. I was just like, this is just – I mean, Solomon just isn't getting the job done, you know. And I hate to, like, single out one guy, but it just really felt like that was, like, the biggest weakness last night.
Agreed. And, again – top 10 pick, Mo Bamba, who was on most of the night.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, even though he's an incredible player and you're going against him, it's just going to make your mistakes look even worse.
Right.
You know?
Well, and it just – it. I respected the – like, I liked what they tried to do offensively because I liked that they went straight at Bamba with Cam Lard for a lot of the early part of the game.
Yep.
But then it seemed like when Cam would come out, they would try and use Solomon in that role. At times, and I was just like, okay, that's not the guy that Solomon is, you know.
You're not going to throw the ball into Solomon Young at the post and let him go to work, especially on Mo Bamba.
Right. Well, I didn't really even think coming into the season that you would do that with Cam Lard, you know.
Mm.
And this was something that I think it was the Wide Right Natty Light guys tweeted out about the, you know, they run that high pick and roll on every play, but they never throw the ball to the to the screen guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because they don't have – I mean, Solomon a lot of times is that guy setting the screens. I don't know if they don't have confidence in him finishing or what it is, but, I mean, obviously when you have the guys that he had around him last year, you're going to look a lot better, but it just feels like he's really regressed.
Yeah. Well, I remember a lot of the non-conference games in the beginning of the year, for some reason, it sticks out in my mind that whenever Iowa State would try to throw a pocket pass, a lot of those were the turnovers early in the season too. So I don't know if that's just bleeding over now that we're in the conference play too or what, but – on the positive side, Cameron Lard is way more like polished on the interior than we thought he was going to be.
See, and I think that part of that is, you know, there was the discussion of whether or not he was going to play last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that he didn't play plays a big part in that because it gave him an opportunity to just focus on him more than focusing on trying to get ready to play, you know. And when he was just trying to work on getting better and then like going into the spring and summer and that's all he was focused on, I think that made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, with him and Lindell, those are two pretty good cornerstones to be, you know, moving forward with. And then obviously the recruiting class that they've got coming in can be really good as well. So I don't know. I mean, I think that I saw some people tweeting last night, you know, it's a lost season, all this stuff like that. And I don't know. I mean, I think at this point, can you expect to do too much like with this year? No, but it's about next year. I mean, to me at this point, at least, it's about getting Lindell. And that's why I almost would like to see Terrence Lewis get more run, because it's just like, let him get some experience and build some confidence
and
back up.
I've said this before, and I still have of the opinion that we're going to beat some more teams that we're not supposed to beat.
Right.
Like, we weren't supposed to beat Texas Tech, but we, you know, shellacked them. So some more games like that are going to come up.
Yeah, so I think that there's still wins left on the schedule. It's just that, you know, before it was like he went into every night and it's like, you know, we probably will win. Will win, or we have a very good chance to win.
Mm.
And now it's just, you know, you go into it and it's like, you know, we'll probably lose, but I hope that we play well at this point. And that's kind of a crappy way to look at it, but it's just like the realistic way of looking at it.
Yeah, because the past 5 or 6 years we've been used to winning.
Yeah.
And we're expecting that, oh, we're gonna come in, we're gonna have we can likely win this game.
Yeah.
Even if we're playing Kansas.
See, and it's just, I mean, as long as they have so little shooting and so few, I mean, really options at what you can do with your front court.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't have combinations to work with that can really make a big enough difference to, you know, like turn something around drastically or
and
anything
again,
like that.
Like, coming into the season, I had it in my mindset that, oh, this team's definitely obviously going to take a step back on offense because, you know, we had graduated 4 starting seniors who were all, you know, very good offensive players in one way or another. So then the thought that everyone else had was like, but they got to make up for it on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that's like what's been so surprising about this team is that a lot of the times they've been so bad on defense, you know?
Yeah. And they haven't been that bad offensively.
No.
You know,
they've been acceptable.
Yeah. Well, the numbers, I mean, they're generally like in the very good category on synergy from when I look at it.
Yeah.
But the defense is either average or
way
bad.
Way below average.
You know, poor. And so like that's just what – it was going to be hard for them to do that, to play this way this year if they weren't going to get yeah. stops, you know.
And the lazy, and
but when they do get stops like they did against Texas Tech, you see what they're still capable of.
Yeah, and the lazy way to say that the defense has been bad, and I know you've dealt with this too, is a lot of people say they're lacking effort or they're not, you know, yeah. trying their hardest, but that's not true. I think it's just some of the fundamental things that they need to do, they're not very good at yet for some reason.
Yeah, I think they're just not very good defensively.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Solomon wasn't as good defensively last year as what he thought we thought he was, but he had those guys who were so experienced around him that all knew what they were doing. And none of them were, like, stellar defensive players, but they were all, like I said, they all knew what they were doing, that yeah. they came together to create, like, yeah. a cohesive unit. And now I think there's just enough guys that don't know what they're doing mm-hmm. that, you know, it makes it a lot more difficult to, yeah. to come to that.
And even when we're this far into the season, they might still be having issues like coming together and gelling.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like we're in conference play. They should be fully, you know, reaching their potential by now. I yeah. mean, that's just not the case when there's so many new guys on the team.
For sure. Obviously, now Iowa State looks ahead to Saturday. Get a break from the gauntlet that is the Big 12 with a game against Tennessee.
It was pretty good themselves, though.
Yeah, they are ranked. So another game against a ranked opponent for the Cyclones, but
I believe they are 14th on KenPom.
I don't know anything about Tennessee. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I have not looked ahead that far yet.
They have three guys who average double figures in scoring. I think
they have some good wins, but I think they have some yeah. bad losses too.
Mm.
So, who's even the coach there now? Oh no, it's still Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes,
that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could see them winning this game just because it's like, you know, all of a sudden you get out of the Big 12 and you kind of can relax a little bit
yeah.
and just figure out a way to come up with a win.
Well, honestly, in reversing of roles, like last year we all expected to go to Vanderbilt and win that game.
Yeah.
Because Vanderbilt wasn't that great of a team. But then we got beat pretty badly there. So then this year it might be reversed. Like Tennessee might be coming here expecting a win, you know.
Yeah.
Iowa State's not that good in the Big 12, but it could be a team that we could beat.
Have they ever lost at home in the Big 12 SEC Challenge?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they have either.
They played Auburn,
beat them
in Hilton
easy.
Recently.
Yeah,
who else did they play at home? You remember?
Arkansas.
Yeah, that's right. And they beat them.
Yeah, that was the game. That's about probably like Bryce John Jones's best game as a Cyclone.
Yeah, Nick Babb was on the Razorbacks at that point, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. I can't think of who else there was. I don't think that they've lost in that though.
No, I don't think so.
They've lost like every time they've gone on the road though.
Yeah. Because
they lost to Texas A&M that one year.
Yep.
And then they lost to Vanderbilt last year.
Yep.
How long have they been doing that? Is this only like the fifth year?
Yeah, 5 or 6 years, I want to say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I think that they're undefeated at home and haven't won on the road yet. But mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that.
So got to keep that continuing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know much about Tennessee at this point, but I feel like the SEC is not that good,
mm-hmm.
you know. If there's an opportunity to get a win in a game like this, then
it would be Iowa State's, well, debatable with the Texas Tech game, but it would be one of Iowa State's best wins of the year.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back, and we will do some hot and not and drink some bad beer. You're listening to Stands and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris. Want to take a quick break on this podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic to tell you about my friends at Ames Eye Clinic and Des Moines Eye Care. These are great fanatics. They are jumping on board, supporting what we are doing here. You know why? Because you guys support them. They accept all sorts of medical and vision plans. A couple of convenient locations located in Ames and also in Des Moines. AmesEyeClinic.com, DesMoinesEyeCare.com. They offer same-week appointments. They can do anything from a routine vision exam to a medical eye exam. Got a large selection of eyewear, also for your contact lenses. So if you're in the need for some eye care, I want to tell you about our friends at Ames Eye Clinic and Des Moines Eye Care. Support them because they support Cyclone Fanatic. Now, back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits, presented by Heartland Flags this week. Get your Cyclone flag out. Rep it with the big game against Tennessee coming up on Saturday. Hopefully the Cyclones can get a W in that one. Are you excited for Kansas-Oklahoma tonight? You're going to watch that?
I might have it on in the background, yeah. It's going to be a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah. So I guess we actually we messed up on our rundown and switched these around. I was going to say we didn't talk about the NFL, but we already did.
Yep.
all right, hot and not this week. My hot, bad guy Jeff Capel. assistant coach for the Duke Blue Devils. Have you seen Duke's recruiting class?
It's the best ever.
I don't. Let's not go that far yet.
It is.
We can't have that conversation until they've stepped on the court.
But like on paper, it is the best ever.
It's up there. RJ Barrett, the number one recruit in the country. Cam Reddish, the number two recruit in the country. Zion Williamson, the number three recruit in the country. And Trey Jones, the number 10 recruit in the country. All in one class.
Like, we think Iowa State's recruiting class next year is going to be really good. But when you look at that, it's like, wow.
See, and here's why I made it Jeff Capel. That's the hot of the week and not Mike Krzyzewski.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to One Shining Podcast with Mark Titus and Tate Frazier. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. From The Ringer. It's my favorite college basketball podcast. I recommend it to everyone. And they were talking about how, you know, Coach K's way of doing things was the, you know, we're going to get a bunch of hardworking guys.
Oh.
That, you know, you got to coach them up and make them into good players. And, you know, maybe we'll get a highly rated recruit every once in a while. But the majority of our guys are going to be people that have to play for 2 and 3 years. And you just, you know, you really build them up and turn them into nice players.
Yeah.
But now Capel's back, probably going to be the new head coach at Duke whenever K decides to step away. And they got to set the precedent for what what is to come there at Duke with their one-and-done guys, because that's like what he's always been good at, even at Oklahoma when he was there with the Blake Griffins of the world and you know, getting those guys that are elite talents.
Man, you can't like bag on Coach K, though. Maybe these guys who are all in the top 10, maybe they're just hardworking guys themselves.
No, I think Coach K is probably really good at manipulating his relationships that he's developed through USA basketball.
You know what I mean? True. Like, it's a big advantage to coach the national team.
It's like with RJ Barrett, you ask him, "Hey RJ, who's your favorite player?" "Oh, Kevin Durant." "Let me hit Kev up right now."
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Just like shoot him a text and say, "Hey, I'm here with RJ Barrett."
And say hello.
He just wants to, and you know, I'm trying to get him to come to Duke.
Yeah.
And he really wants to be like Kevin Durant, and then Kevin Durant can say, "Oh yeah, you know, go to Duke, and you can be just like you can be just like Kevin Durant."
Kevin Durant would say go to Texas, but Kyrie Irving maybe would say go to Duke.
But he played for. See, it's all a ploy. It's not real.
It's USA basketball.
It's not real. Yeah. It's all fake. It's just part of the recruiting ploy.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, they put together one of the best recruiting classes in history.
It's going to be fun to watch. Like, is there going to be enough balls to go around? That's always the question when there's so many guys like this on one team.
I don't know. I mean, the funny thing to me is that RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish are both small forwards, and then Zion Griffin is like a power forward slash small forward. So they're going to have like three slash fours that are all true freshmen and then a point guard. That is Tyus Jones.
Well, that was like the national championship team like a couple years ago where they had like three amazing centers. Or was that last year even?
Are you thinking of the Jahlil Okafor team?
I don't think so. I think it was
a year or two ago. Well, I mean, they had Tyus Jones and Justice Winslow and all those guys. But I don't think that they had a bunch of centers.
I think
that
maybe
was the year that they won when they beat Butler.
Okay.
They had like the Plumleys and Ryan Kelly and John Shire and all those guys.
The Plumleys are, I think, who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But anywho, they're always loaded at every position.
Duke
anyway.
Basketball. It's never going away, unfortunately. Yeah. All right. What do you got?
My hot. I actually went to an Iowa Wild game on Friday night, and it was my first ever minor league hockey game. And it was actually a blast. Have you ever been to a hockey game like in person?
I went to a Phoenix Coyotes game
time
when I was considerably younger, but that's the only hockey game I've ever been to.
Well, it was super fun. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be very much fun. Like, they had a young professionals like meet up there, and I had some friends going. So
didn't they have $2 beer night?
They did. I didn't get any though, because I'm still trying to eat healthy.
That's right.
So,
yeah. Okay.
But yeah, they did have $2 beer night.
But you saw Chris play broomball.
I tweeted about that. Yeah, Chris played broomball during the second intermission, he was on his butt a few times.
I asked him on Saturday. I was like, "So have you recovered from all the times you hit the ice at playing broomball?" He's like, "That's what broomball is. All you do is you're on the ice. You just fall down." And he got really defensive about it.
I
was like, "Oh, okay." He's like, "You're wearing tennis shoes on ice. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to fall down."
Well, his reply to my tweet that I sent him was, "Yeah, I think I have CTE now." So that was good. But like, Broomball, honestly, like, did you play broomball intramurals at Iowa State?
No.
Dude, broomball is arguably the best intramural.
Is it?
Yeah.
Don't they play it all in one night?
Like, well, yeah, they play it like the first game starts at midnight and then games go until like 3 in the morning. Jeez. That's when they play it. It's ridiculous.
It would be too late for me, man.
Yeah. Well, it would be extremely late for me now.
Yeah.
I go to bed at like 9.
Yeah, that would be fun. I should have come out and watched that. One of my buddies went to the game. I should have gone with them.
Yeah, it was a good time. So next time Chris Williams is playing broomball, you can come, let me know, and we'll go and make fun of him. Maybe snap some pictures.
Yeah, there we go. Monte's playing at Wells Fargo tomorrow.
That's right.
On Wednesday.
Coming to play the energy.
Yeah, the Wolves.
Wolves, that's right. Yeah. I keep forgetting they changed.
Come on, get the branding right here, please.
G League, too. At least I remember that.
Yeah. My not this week is Kevin Love. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Apparently the Cavs called a team, like a players-only team meeting last night, in which they got pissed at Kevin Love because they think people on the team think that he faked being sick so that he could sit out of the game or like leave a game over the weekend.
Really?
And they all got mad at him, and he like had to defend himself for being sick.
So has there been any names released? Like, do we know which players have made fun of him?
No, I don't think there's anybody specifically who's, you know, like come out, but they had this really intense meeting apparently where they had to go off on Kevin Love.
Everyone always figured Kevin Love would be the of the big three for the Cavs. He would be traded first.
Yeah.
Before Kyrie or LeBron, obviously. So I'm so honestly surprised that he's still in Cleveland.
Kevin is just like he's just the fall guy all the time.
He is.
You know? Like every time something goes wrong, it's Kevin Love's fault.
Yeah.
It just seems like he's always the one that's getting yelled at by LeBron.
But he's been having a pretty good season for Kevin Love standards, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been fine. See, that's the thing. Like, he always plays well, but then whenever something's going bad, it's not Kyrie and it's not LeBron's fault. Obviously, it's not Kyrie's fault anymore, but it's not Isaiah Thomas. It's not LeBron. No, it's always Kevin Love.
And why is that?
I don't know if it's just because he, like, gets sick or not sick, but he gets hurt a lot or, you know, like, they're –
like, is Kevin Love just
just like the guy that everybody's like, how does this piece like even fit in the NBA anymore?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, he always seems like a super nice, like, genuine guy.
Yeah.
Whenever I see him like in interviews. But is he like the kind of guy who, you know, blames others behind the scenes and stuff like that? I mean,
no,
I don't know.
I don't believe so. I think that Kevin Love is a genuinely like a good guy from what I mean, pretty much trying to tear apart the Minnesota Timberwolves franchise when he wanted to get traded. But I just thought it was funny that it was coming out that there was this meeting in which the Cavs players thought that Kevin Love was faking sick and all this stuff.
Those are some pretty big accusations though.
Oh,
that could majorly screw up team chemistry.
That's not a good deal.
No.
The NBA is wild right now, dude. I retweeted a thing. Yeah, Cavs versus Kevin Love. Kawhi is pissed off at the Spurs now.
Yeah, I saw that. That's
apparently
interesting.
Apparently, all the Wizards hate John Wall. Jason Kidd got fired yesterday and then didn't know about it before it had been tweeted. And then Giannis was calling him after seeing it on Twitter saying that he would save his job for him. Kemba Walker's apparently going to get traded because him and Michael Jordan are like fighting with each other.
Dude, the NBA is like legit becoming a soap opera.
Yeah, Damian Lillard had a meeting with the owner of the Blazers to tell him that he wants like the team to be better. And it's like, well, what can you do to be better at this point besides – you probably have to get worse.
Yeah.
Did you see LeBron's Instagram post this morning?
It was congratulating younger LeBron.
Yeah, he
like that,
congratulated high school LeBron for surpassing the 30,000 point total, which he is expected to do
tonight
in their game. Kobe got nominated for an Oscar yesterday.
Yep.
And then Markelle Fultz all of a sudden really sucks, and his shooting stroke looks like a 45-year-old man at the rec.
Yeah.
And nobody knows why.
It's the Charles Barkley golf swing of shooting.
Yeah. And it's like, it's turned like these interviews of the Sixers when, like they'll have guys practicing in the background. It's turned all of them in like the Zapruder film where everybody's zooming in like to see Markelle Fultz shooting in the background. It's like, what is wrong with Markelle?
Yeah.
You know, like what? Something is seriously wrong with this guy right now.
Yeah. They're investigating.
Right.
CSI, Markelle Fultz.
Exactly. All right. What's your not?
My not this week, if you're a fan of in-state golf courses, this is a little bit surprising. So the news that the Harvester Golf Course will be going private is my not this week. So the owner, who is named Dixon Jensen, tweeted this, I believe it was yesterday. Just finished 2 days walking in the rain at the Harvester Golf Club with golf architect Keith Foster, arguably one of the best architects in the world. The Harvester is getting a redo to take the course from very good to great. And then he hashtagged True Golf Club and hashtag public to private. So this is a big deal. I don't know if you've ever, like, I don't know how big into golfing you are. Like, have you golfed at all?
I mean, I have golfed in my life at times, but okay. I have never golfed at the Harvester.
So the Harvester is obviously where Iowa State men and women have played before. And then I believe it's been rated the number one public course in Iowa for, like, a long time. So I played there one time in middle school. I played a few tournaments during the summer, and I got to play there for like $50. It was an entry fee. And it was the most fun golf outing, even though I played terribly, ever. Because the course is just so beautiful and well laid out. It's like anytime you could go there and play, it's a treat. So I was looking forward to going back and playing for like $125 or whatever at some point in like the next 5 years just for a me outing.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be possible if it's private.
No, it can't be done.
So that's it's a sad moment for me.
I would weigh in, but I have like no opinion about that. I just, I'm not a huge golf guy.
It's equivalent of wherever your favorite basketball gym is, that closing and you can never like go hoop there ever again.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. That's kind of different because, you know, they're all the same. Yeah. A gym's a gym.
But, right. I understand. I'm sorry that this has happened to you. Sorry you've had this disappointment
personal disappointment enter
your life.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll find a place to play.
I'll drown my sorrows in today's bad beer.
Yeah, there you go. So, all right, let's do it. Like I said, today's episode of Stands and Fits is presented by Heartland Flags. Heartlandflags.com. Check out their showroom here down in Des Moines. They are generally the presenting sponsor of the Monday Rundown. We didn't do a Monday Rundown this week because of the game last night, and the podcast would have been outdated by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we decided to skip that for this week. I also want to say that this week's episode of CFTD Live will air on Thursday. Jeff is sick, so we did not do a podcast or do a show on our normal day. And we instead are going to move it to Thursday, normal time, 10:45. So, yeah, I'll go grab one.
Okay. So, Jerry probably just gave you the spiel that I would have given you. So, we're going to talk to Lolo here a second, which is going to be really fun. So, Lolo is obviously the mascot here of Stands and Fits. And I don't know if you guys can hear it very well, but literally every podcast, like I'm holding on to Lolo's rubber ball, and she's just gnawing on it, like playing, you know, keep away, doggy keep away with me. So, it's either me or Jared. We do it every day. So if you ever come over to Stanz's, you know, meet Lolo, real cool dog. It'll be a real good time. So Jared's fetching a glass right now. I got one 25-ounce bad beer today. So we are looking to not make out over the can, which would be really awkward and disgusting. So we're trying not to transmit diseases today. I haven't been sick in a month. Jared just asked if I was been sick, so that's good.
All right, we're just gonna have to.
Oh, so we are doing it. We are gonna share liquids today, unfortunately.
Yeah, right. I need to do some dishes.
That's all right. It's all good.
All right, what do we got?
All right, so today we got another ice beer. We went with just good old Bud Ice.
Do you see that it says Bud Premium Ice?
Premium. Like I think every beer that's terrible just puts premium.
I think that seems like a solid marketing ploy.
It's a complete marketing thing. 5.5% alcohol volume. I believe this is like the fourth or fifth ice beer that we've had, right?
Yeah, we've done a lot of different ice beers.
So do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I can go first.
All right. you get the good one.
Oh, man.
Really bad?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
That's not good.
Let me give it a try. Yeah, that's not good.
That's really bad. That's definitely the worst ice beer we've had.
I think it might. Well, okay. The thing is, this is bad in a different way than the Natty Ice that we had. The Natty Ice was just so bad because it had like literally zero taste.
Yeah.
It was water basically.
Yeah.
This one has a taste, but it's a bad taste.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is with this beer. This is, that's just... Like, I'm kind of surprised that it's that bad, honestly. Yeah. I expected it to be very similar to the Busch Ice that we drank.
Yeah, I did too. So, here's the thing. Like, okay, do you after Busch Light, obviously, what's your, like, where does Bud Light fall in your beer hierarchy?
That's
like
probably my number two.
Is it?
Honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So same with me, pretty much, I think. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Coors. But anyway, Bud Ice, I would have figured it would be fine because, you know, if it's got Bud on it, it's going to be okay. But this is, it's not a good beer.
No, that's a really bad beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm genuinely surprised that it tasted that way. I did not anticipate that.
No.
I figured it would just be a little bit stronger than like a normal Bud Light.
So for me, I think because it has a taste, even though if it's a bad one, I think it's, for me, it's above the Natty Ice. So I can't remember what I gave that, but I believe this is going to be like a 1.9 for me.
After 20 bad beers, I've forgotten like what all of our ratings that we've given
them are. I'm pretty
sure
Natty Ice was like the second or third worst that we had.
Okay. I look at the list every week, but then I forget about it, you know, like 25 minutes later.
Yeah.
But I'll give it like a 2.3.
Oh, you're going better than I am.
See, I mean, I don't know. Like,
I mean, it's on our scale. So I think, didn't we determine that 2 is like the lowest that you would like still drink it if it was the only beer at a tailgate?
Yeah, I'd probably drink it if it was my only option.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's got to be like Ice House bad for me to be like, no, I'm never going to drink that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I still have those Natty Ices in my fridge.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. There's two of them left. I think the actually memories. Drank two of them at one point.
Oh, nice.
I was obviously really struggling for beer that night.
I still have Keystone Ice in my fridge at home, and obviously I still have some Rolling Rocks.
Did you drink like all of the case of Keystone Ice?
Yeah, over time.
Yeah.
Like I used to drink good beers, and then after I'm a few beers in and I'm feeling, you know, pretty nice, then I start drinking the Keystones because at that point I can't taste them anyway.
The thing I've got in my fridge right now that I really don't want to drink is Bud Heavies.
Oh, really?
Like Budweiser. Yeah, my buddy. My buddy drinks on, that's what he consistently drinks. And he came here for New Year's and left like half a case of them. So now they're just sitting in my fridge.
Okay, so obviously, is the reason you don't want to do that because you just feel so full?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not, obviously, it's not because of the taste, because you would figure that you would drink for the taste of Budweiser before you would drink a Natty Ice.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But I don't know. I just don't like the taste of the Budweiser. It's okay.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose between Budweiser and pretty much anything else, I would probably drink anything else. I'm not a huge fan of the heavy, cheap beers, I guess.
Well, yeah, if you're going to go cheap beer, you might as well make it light so you can just pound them.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he really likes them and he left them here. So now I'm stuck with
them. It's your burden to bear.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, man. You got anything else to add?
Don't think so. Rest in peace, Harvester.
Yeah. We will talk to you guys again soon. Thanks again to Heartland Flags for being the sponsor of Stands and Fits this week. If you want to be the full-time presenting sponsor of Stands and Fits, reach out to me at Jared Stansberry, Jared at Cyclone Fanatic, Casey at Cyclone Fanatic, however you want to go about it. We'll get it done. And we will talk to you guys again soon. Beat the Volunteers.